Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hey, beauties, and welcome back to our Monday interview podcast. I am super excited to have back on our show today, by popular demand, John Pisani, who is my business partner over at Saluna and also happens to be my best friend. And today we're going to be talking about creating healthy boundaries to protect your energy. And I think this is a really important topic for all of us because we all have so many different relationships in our lives, from our colleagues to our neighbors, our friends, our family members, our relatives, our in-laws. And if we aren't really intentional in creating these healthy lines and these healthy boundaries, we can actually become depleted, and it can affect our health. It can affect our overall wellness, our overall vitality. As we talk about here so much on the show, wellness and health and energy and beauty is not just about the food that you're eating. We talk about the cornerstones, which are food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. Everything very much does work together in a holistic way. Everything influences your body and your skin and your hormones and your digestion and your just ability to feel peaceful and joyful, which is what we all want. And so this topic crosses into emotional well-being very much. And we know that mental health and stress affect everything. They affect inflammation. They affect how much you age. They affect our quality of life. So this is a big topic, and it's something that John and I have spoken about a lot over the years. And we have tips and tools and strategies that have really worked, I found, in my life. And so we want to share them. All of us have to create these healthy boundaries, or we have the opportunity to create these healthy boundaries because we have so many different relationships that play out in our lives. And I think it's important to be intentional and to know what your line is and to even create these healthy boundaries in the first place. Otherwise, our relationships can really bleed into our personal energy and can cross over. And that's when we start to get depleted. So this is a really big topic, and I'm really excited to dive in. Before I do, I just want to give a quick shout out to our fan of the week. And her name is Carly Yolanda. And she writes, "Love, love, love. I absolutely love this podcast. I've always adored Kimberly and bought her books. And this is like the cherry on top of the wellness cake. My favorite episode so far is definitely the one with her husband. This podcast is a joy. Thank you." Carly Yolanda, thank you so much for being part of our community. Sending you so much love, sister. It means the world to me. Thank you for writing your review, and hope we get to meet one day in person. But till then, sending you a huge virtual hug. And beauties, for your chance to also be shouted out as our fan of the week, for me to read your beautiful words, please just take a moment or two out of your day and leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to our podcast. It really just is a great way to support the show, and it's free and it's easy, and it could be one sentence, but again, it just truly means the world. And while you're over there, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. And that way you don't miss out on any of these interview podcasts, which are always on Mondays, or our community show, which is Thursdays. All right. All that being said, let's get into our show today. And thank you so much, John, for making time in your very busy schedule running Saluna. You definitely manage a lot. And so thank you so much for coming back with us today.
Yes, it's so nice to be back on the podcast. Excited about the topic. I think this is a great topic. I think it really, from so many people, that it's a really universal topic. I think that really affects a lot of people.
So you and I talk about this a lot. And like there's to me, when I think about healthy boundaries, there's the macro world, meaning our relationship with, for instance, social media, right? Or people that come in passing, like the people in line at the post office or whatever. And then it becomes, you know, more like the inner circles come in, down to like our acquaintances, people we see casually, down to like friends, then close friends, then family members. So I feel like maybe we start with the outer circle. What do you think about that, John? And we got to work inward because the inner ones can be the most tricky. But what has helped me, I think, is learning to create healthy boundaries with people I'm not as, you know, connected to, or not just like as closely, like there aren't as close emotional bonds and triggers and wounds, you know, with family members. So maybe it just helped me create that in a larger sense. Does that make sense?
No, completely. I think it's easy to work from the outer side in. The outer ones are a little, sometimes less complicated. As we move inward, a little more complicated.
Yes, exactly. So for me, you know, on social media, and when we started the blog, you know, years ago, over 10 years ago now, and it was, you know, a free blog, and there was a lot of comments coming in. And, you know, I share this experience. We've talked about this before, when I did a Good Morning America segment, and, you know, there was just some backlash about certain recommendations, ones I thought were quite innocuous, you know, diet soda and so on and so forth. But people had their own experience and they had their own journeys. And it was the first time there was, you know, just a bunch of, you know, negative feedback on the blog about, you know, that felt personal. And I turned to you and said, you know, this is really hurtful. I broke down, and I even considered for a moment, you know, actually even canceling the blog. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this. And no, then you said to me, are you going to let those people stop you in your mission from trying to help people and to help the world? You know, what are you, you know, are you going to let that happen? And I remember I processed it and, you know, came back within a day or so, but I had to learn to create healthy boundaries with the public. And I think all of us, to varying degrees, you know, any way we're on social media or any way we put ourselves out there, there's going to be people that comment and people that like your stuff and people that don't like your stuff. And, you know, those healthy boundaries in that space, first of all, I think are really important. So, John, like, let's talk about how do we, like, first of all, what is a healthy boundary and how do we create that in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on a good thing. I remember that distinctively. And it's, you know, I think, you know, when you're putting stuff out there, we started from, I think, a really young age of feeling approval from, you know, first off, from our family. And then as we move into later in life, other people in our lives and the outer people. And I think the first time when you're feeling like a pushback or something that is not, you know, or saying to something that is not in agreement of what you're saying, it's a yeah, it's a really hard, like, because it's the first time you feel really, you feel vulnerable, but not in, it's a different thing because it's vulnerable to people you don't really know. And yeah, so it's like, kind of like, remember when you're in school, when you're going to, like, in high school or back in school, where you really, even though you don't know these people, you just want to be accepted and to feel that acceptance. And, but then as you realize, I think as you get, you know, start working through it, you realize, okay, the only acceptance I need is myself. And I said, if I know I'm putting out something or doing anything in my life that, yes, is for good, yes, then that's the only acceptance I need, because not everybody's always going to like what I say or do, or, you know, there's always going to be people that have a difference of opinion.
Yes, exactly. So it's, you know, when I think about healthy boundaries, it's really holding space for yourself with your personal energy and what feels good to you. And there's a line you draw. So for you know, what we talked about for me and with, you know, us in the, you know, in the public space, so to speak, it's, you know, I know, and we talked about this a lot. If we put out what feels aligned and feels good and it's never hurtful and it's, it comes from love, however it's received, the healthy boundary I've created is, you know, I put out, I focus what I put out, but there's a boundary in, you know, I there's a space where people's feedback can come in and I will take it and I'll process it, but I try not to. Sometimes it does get through, but I try to keep this boundary where I don't take it so personally. There's a distance between me and it. I don't identify with it as much because it's moving through me, right? It's just content or ideas, but it's not me. So the boundary for me is I don't make it personal to, you know, me, like I'm bad or I'm not liked. It's the boundary is, oh, you know, they received this content in a certain way that stings for a minute, or that feels good, you know, that they liked it, but I don't make it about myself.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think about it in everyday life for every person, whether you're at your job, whether you're at school, whether whatever you're doing, parenting, there's always going to be, you know, constant feedback, you know, oh, good job. That was great. Oh, that's really, you know, you're always, you know, doing things. And then there's some type of either validation or feedback on what you're doing. Especially, but it seems today, you know, in our modern age, it's hyper speed. You know, you think with social, everything, it's kind of your hyper, it's the instant kind of thing. So it takes a second. I mean, I know I've, you know, sometimes struggle with it. I'm like, oh gosh, did I do a good job? Is that okay? And then you want to feel like it's okay, you know, cause it feels good. I mean, it's a natural thing to say, oh yeah. Gosh, I did a good job and that feels good. But when there is resistance, if you know in your heart you did what you – and this goes back to intuition and goes back to really being anchored in yourself of feeling like, yes. Okay, I did what I thought was best. Maybe it wasn't – you know, maybe it doesn't turn out that way, but that's all – you can't beat yourself up for that.
Exactly. Like if we – focus. And I know when I was starting out and I was – you know, I felt like I wasn't really protected energetically because I wasn't as anchored in myself, right? So it was like everything coming at me when I started, you know, over 10 years ago now felt really personal. And, you know, John, you were always my anchor. I would cry to, or I would say, you know, oh my gosh, like this person said something mean. So for me, and I think for all of us who are on social media, or just if you say something at a party or whatever, if we focus on the inner state and connecting to our form, the formless part of us, you know, the spiritual part, the soul, the essence, you know, the divine part of us, whatever word you want to use, but we focus on who we really are underneath the surface and we create and we put out with what feels aligned to that. The boundary for me is however it's received. Again, it's like this outer, it's like it doesn't come into my inner aura. I try to keep it in this, I almost imagine this bubble around myself, and it doesn't come in the bubble, good or bad, right? You know, yoga is about equanimity. So, and there's this word in Hebrew, actually, hashvedas, I think I'm saying it right, which is that we're neither affected by praise nor scorn. So that's a boundary, is if we know we put out something that feels good to us, the feedback isn't going to get through that boundary as much. And this comes with time. And I feel like meditation has really helped me just strengthen that inner connection so that we know that we're so much more than the surface. This whole inner world is really our identity and everybody's on their own journey. So if we tune into our, you know, inner space and we align with that, that is really the best thing we can do. And it makes it less impactful what other people are saying or their opinion of it. And I think it develops over time. It's not always the easiest thing, of course, but it gets better. And, you know, over these years, John, you can see it's gotten better in me.
No, absolutely. I mean, you were hypersensitive, I think, when we started out. Just simply, it's like anything. When you haven't been exposed to certain things, the first time you are, it feels like so overwhelming And I know we talked about this last time at the TED Point, especially in the creative space, when you're creating something, creating things, it's exasperated even more because you've personally created something, or you're doing something that is original to you. And, you know, it's like, imagine being a painter and you paint a picture and you show it to someone for the first time. That's frightening because it's so personal to you and you've created it. And now you're showing it to the world that, or to people that, you know, are going to have an opinion. And that's scary when you first do that. And the first times you go through that, it's just brutal, like, because you just feel like, oh, it's so big. But then as you do it more, you realize, I know what I've created, or what anything I create in my life, and it doesn't have to be art, it can be anything I create, my day, my phone call, anything you do, it's original to you and you've created it and it's, you own it and you feel good about it. And that's all that matters.
Right. And I think, you know, taking it universally, another topic that, you know, this reminds me of is mothering. And I remember, you know, with Bubby being a first time mom, there's so many different styles of parenting. And I definitely felt sensitive to, you know, thinking, am I doing this right? I would come to the moms groups for the first time and think, do I have all the right stuff in the diaper bag? You know, will other moms judge me if I don't have this or that? You know, I was so like, just again, thinking about the external versus focusing on the internal. And what I found personally as a mom was, I just started to really anchor into my instincts and really tune into my bond with my child. And I would say, you know, especially after the first year, it just really, there was a big shift. I started to really care less and less and less what other people think. And now Bubby just turned 5 and Moses is 10 months. And I can say, you know, I haven't always done things in quote the traditional way, but things that really felt good to me. Bubby breastfed for a long time. He nursed, you know, till he was about 4 years old, and it worked for our family. And, you know, he's a very natural child, and we're here in Topanga. We're barefoot a lot. You know, he has his costumes and his wild hair, and, you know, people are on their own journey, and someone that, you know, cuts their kid's hair every 2 weeks, or, you know, just thinks breastfeeding's weird after 6 months or whatever may look. And sometimes, you know, John, my husband, would be like, oh, look, people are looking at us in public or whatever, you know, and covered up and being respectful. But still, I can honestly say from now to where I started, that healthy boundary for me is, I'm connected to my child and everything else is in the outer bubble, right? Even opinions of in-laws or family members or whatever, like, I don't give an F. And I say that with love, but I think that when we tune in to what feels right and true and good to us, the outside opinions just matter less and less and less. And another thing I'll say is, you know, everybody is on their own journey. So everybody speaks to each other the way that they speak to themselves. And this really started to resonate with me because I started to understand, you know, sometimes I can be impatient and short. And it's because I'm so impatient with myself. And I worked on that a lot over the past few years as a recovering perfectionist. But the other day we had a friend's dad come over here. I'm sorry, one of Bubby's friend's dads. And, you know, he stayed on the outside. We're being COVID safe, but he kind of was looking in the windows and he was like, oh, you should do this to your railing, replace the wood with the wire. And he was saying all this stuff about the house. And I love our house. I think it looks beautiful. And in the past, I would have taken that personally. I didn't have that healthy boundary. So I would have gotten really annoyed and been like, oh, like, who is he to tell me all this stuff? But I could really look at him. And again, there's this like, I know what I know. And I have this outer bubble, so to speak. And the healthy boundary is I don't let it come into my aura. And I just say, oh, you know, thanks, Jack. Like, that's great to know. Like, thank you for your opinion, whatever. But, you know, I just connect with him on like the parts that I connect, like he's a good dad and we live in the same area or whatever. But I also know that he's always trying to fix things up and his house is never good enough for him. And, you know, things aren't. So it's just like with the mom thing, I just don't take it as personally. And I also don't care as much. It's not that I'm dismissive or mean about it. I'll take in the opinion, but if it doesn't resonate, I'll let it go.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing, because I think before you probably would have like thought about that for days. You know what I mean? Like it would have stuck with
totally.
You.
Totally obsessed.
You would have obsessed and probably, you know, taken days to process and get past it. And, so that's, you know, when you get, that's great that you can, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what I think. I think sometimes we, in those situations where you feel like, oh, he's judging my house. Why are you judging my house? Like, did I do something wrong? You know, that's the natural, I mean, whatever we were unpacking from our, you know, childhood and stuff, for stuff we've gone through. You know, that's a natural kind of reaction. Then you realize, okay, wait, this is my house. I love it the way it is. And that's all that matters. And, you know, that's why it's, everyone has different tastes and different what they like. And that's why you want to be in a space that you like. And I think, you know, with the parenting, you know, I'm not a parent, but I've been around a lot of kids. But I think it's, you know, great to like do what you feel is right. Cause at the end of the day, you're the parent and you have to live with the decisions you make. And so if you're doing what you feel naturally is good and then that's the healthiest for that situation than I think the child. And you know, I think with Bubby, he's so free. And I think one of the cool things with him is he's just so.
Yeah.
Like freeing in himself and of not worrying about, I'm wearing a costume or I'm doing like a hair. Like it's just really affected him in a great way.
Hey, beauty, looking for a way to give your immune system some extra support? Try Noom Immunity, a daily blend of nourishing ingredients. Paying attention to your health has never been more important. Maybe you're now traveling, training, or just trying to get it all done. Noom Immunity is a quick and delicious way to give yourself some TLC. Hydrating electrolytes, vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, ginger, and turmeric. Just add a fizzy tablet to your water. Available in two flavors, orange citrus and blueberry tangerine, which tastes great as a refreshing cold drink or a comforting hot beverage. To give your immune system some daily support, visit noonlife.com, spelled N-U-U-N, for 20% off your first order. Hey, beauties, I want to share one of the biggest secrets for health and wellness and energy and maintaining a slim, lean body is to consistently clean out excess waste from your body. It's not just what you're putting in, but making sure that you are releasing as much as possible from your GI tract, from your body, things that can stagnate, old waste, old toxins, that can clog your body and make your goals, your wellness and beauty goals, much harder to achieve. So I have a product for you. It's called Detoxy. It's really amazing. It's basically nasal oxygen paired with ASC2P, which is a stable form of vitamin C that in clinical research has been shown to help prevent the very, very root cause of aging, which is the shortening of telomeres, which creates chromosomal damage in your DNA. So it's helpful in that regard. And it also just cleans out your system. It's amazing. It's not a laxative. It's not habit forming, but you take it in the evening and you'll find the right capsule amount for you. It could be one. It could be four or five. I personally take four. You take it before bed and in the morning you release more, so to speak. So it's really wonderful. It's really impactful. It will help you feel lighter and all the benefits of cleansing your system, better skin, more energy. So you can check it out over at mysaluna.com. It's called Feel Good Detoxy. And you can also use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements and skincare, including our Detoxy. Again, wellness15 for 15% off. The thing that helped me create these healthy boundaries, which for me is about so much not letting people affect your energy, right? Like we go through life and we're doing our best and we're flowing along. But like you said, there were times like it would affect me. Like I would have to think about it and talk about it for hours sometimes, right? And stuff with clients and, this person, whatever they said, like I would just take it so personally. So what's really helped me is really reminding myself that everybody has their own sense of reality. in a way, right? Like we live in this collective where we see the trees together, the stores are there, you know, whatever's going on, but everybody is on their own journey and everybody has their own perspective and their own background and their own triggers and their own things that have happened in their childhood or whatever. So when we remember that, like, and going back to the mom thing, for instance, like mom shaming was something that was talked about. You know, I remember reading a lot about it and it still, you know, it still happens, of course, but I just don't tune into it as much because I've just become so anchored, I think, in my own instincts. But I remember, you know, just a lot of discussion around mom shame. And so, like I was saying, the way that we treat other people comes a lot from the way that we treat ourselves and talk to ourselves, our self language. So the shaming comes a lot from people that shame themselves and, you know, feel bad about themselves and are very self-critical. So when I really started to understand that when people, if, you know, if and when people make comments like Jack the other day, I know it comes from, you know, a place where they're giving that treatment to themselves. So instead of being annoyed or like, you know, that person sucks, I have been able to open my heart to finding compassion and being like, oh, wow, like that person must be really hard on themselves. And that has also helped me take it less personally.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it. Why would you ever be mean to someone or say something disparaging? There's no reason to, unless there's something that's going inside yourself that is being triggered to make yourself feel a certain way about yourself. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because otherwise you would, we would see the beauty in everything. Even if we don't like, oh, that's not what I would do, but hey, that's amazing. Do it. You know, we would never come out and say, oh, why is he even doing it? That's weird. You know, why would you, we only,
it's like, who cares? Like, why are you putting so much energy into what someone else is doing? Right.
Exactly. It's just because we're being triggered within ourselves as saying like either, oh gosh, I don't do it that good or, oh wow, that's better than I, you know, there's something that's being triggered to make it feel, make us feel okay with ourselves by ripping down somebody else.
Well, and that's what happens with, like, you know, the so-called social media trolls that go around leaving mean comments on YouTube and everywhere. It's a projection of an inner pain. And, you know, I used to think like, who are these a-holes that are just doing that all day? You know, you see, you watch a video and you look down, you're like, whoa, you know, just people that are putting out like love and great stuff, like Deepak, you know, or anybody. And you realize that it is triggering something in somebody in their reality, in their inner state. And really, really getting that, I think, just helps us feel, oh, it's really not about me.
Absolutely. You know, and we like, ear to self, listen, I found myself doing it all, you know, judging people or going, oh my gosh. And, you know, it's easy to judge people because it's just a natural reaction. But, mm-hmm. you know, but then sometimes I have to say to myself, because I've caught myself doing it. And then I say, wait a minute, like, I have to, like, I can't try not to judge because I'm not in their shoes. I'm not in their situation. Like, yeah. You know, I know, like, with myself growing up with my mom, there's things that she didn't, decisions, things I never agreed with. You know, I come from a family divorce. There's, you know, deeper things that I was like, how could you do that? Like, how, I can't connect. Yeah. For a long time, I struggled with it. How could you do that to my dad and this, that, and the other? And then then as I got older, I realized, wow, relationships are not easy and life is not easy sometimes. And sometimes you just make the decision that you think is best. And maybe it's not the best decision, but you're going with all the stuff that at that time you could, you know, put into yourself to make a decision. And then I realized, wow, I can't blame her or, you know, put that on for her because that's what she did, it what she thought was best.
You're right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, this also goes as we sneak closer to the inner circles of, you know, speaking about parents and family members. We've gotten a bunch of questions about, you know, I have to say it. We get a lot of questions about in-laws and saying, you know, my mother-in-law doesn't like me or she tells me what to do or I feel like she doesn't think I'm good enough for her son or, you know, very hurtful things because now we've crossed from like, okay, the social media trolls or the acquaintances or my friend's husband, like, you know, ultimately, you know, outer circles, to getting like pretty personal. And that can be really tough to hear. So still holding the space for my boundary is my own energy, my very personal energy. And I can take in feedback, but I know my truth and I create this bubble. I just imagine this bubble. They can't get past the bubble. They're not getting into the inner aura. Now that's easier said than done. So, well, you know, what else would you say about that, John? About, let's say, in-laws or like family members that, you know, just they can be so triggering. You know, even our parents can be really triggering. Just people around us that, you know, we love, we want their validation, and sometimes they overstep.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is when it gets really, really hard, because now, you know, with family, there's a natural kind of bond there that goes beyond just, you know, you going into work and seeing someone work. If you quit that job, you're never going to see that person again. But with family, they're there for life. You're always going to, you know, hopefully, you know, see your family or relatives or this or that. And, you know, depending on the situation, how much, but there's, that's, it's never going away. You're never quitting your family most of the time. But so I think that there's that inherent pressure of like, you know, somehow if you're not really thinking about it, that it can be much more triggering, because there's a deeper level of feeling of judged, you know, because they are your family. And we seek typically approval of a mother, a father, a family member, a brother, a sister. And it's a deeper trigger, much, much deeper. And this is where you really have to have the boundaries. And I think sometimes even, you know, I know I've had to, wait a second, okay, we're all family. And I think as we get to be adults in our lives, we have to say, okay, we have to live our own lives too. We have our family. We love our family, but we have to live our lives for ourselves too. And not just for our family, you know, for our brother, sister, for their approval, you know, like that it's, okay, you know, that, and that's a boundary that you really have to create for yourself, which will make those relationships so much healthier.
Well, also I think it's drawing the line, like under, like, being really clear, like with the day-to-day boundaries. So in an overall sense, we say, you know, this is my anchor. I feel good about my choices and decisions. But how does that play out in the real world? I'll give you an example. With my mother-in-law, and she's, you know, very loving. She's a Jewish mom. And she's, you know, in the beginning, she would, you know, just text. And, you know, there was a certain pace of texting that I can do. And I try to batch text, and I wasn't able to keep up with all the text. And when it crossed over into, you know, things with me versus into, you know, where's John? What's he doing? And, you know, why hasn't he called me back? When it started to be me as the go-between, that was a boundary I had to put up, and I put it up with love. And I just said, but clarity and firmness, I said, you know, if you would like to find out where he is, like, you know, please check in with him. You guys can, you know, do that. But I, you know, I just can't be in the middle, and there's just so much going on with the kids. Like, whatever. I worded it in a really loving way, and she understood, and she, you know, there was intention, but I had to create that clarity, because otherwise, and I know sometimes we can fall into this, we don't say anything because we feel, quote, bad. And maybe we avoid confrontation, which I don't like confrontation much either, but it would just be this resentful situation where over time, it's like we keep having the situation come up and we keep feeling resentful, and then it builds and it builds, and it starts to deteriorate the relationship, and it starts to deplete your energy. So every time you're going there or her name comes up, you're like, oh, there's this dread, and this, you know, that creates inflammation and acid in the body, and, you know, very dysregulating to our nervous system. So it has a physical effect. So for me, it is also verbalizing. Healthy boundaries can be conversations and you know, words you use, like, hey, you know, or maybe with a sibling, hey, you know, I love you so much. I appreciate your, you know, opinions and your ideas, but, you know, I really have an idea of how I'd like to mother. So if I don't ask you for your opinion about certain things, like, you know, I just ask that maybe you keep that to yourself or whatever it is. Like, sometimes we have to verbalize the boundaries.
Absolutely. If you don't verbalize it, then a person doesn't know. And that's the trickiest, I think, with in-laws. It's so difficult because sometimes in our minds we think, well, they should know that because that's how I think. And you realize, like, wait a minute, not everybody thinks the same way. So if we don't verbalize boundaries, you can't hold people accountable because you've never verbalized the boundary. And once you've verbalized it, then they know. And then there's definitely a, they're crossing a boundary. But with in-laws, it's hard because as an in-law, people come into it with such different ways. Some, you know, people come in and say, okay, you know, I'm just going to be chill and whatever. And then other people, in-laws, they view it as like, I'm family. And we're like we were like brother and sister growing up for 30 years or whatever, you know? And so people come in and that's where those boundaries have to be set. It's okay. Like, listen, I love you. We're now, you know, extended family, but if you don't set those boundaries, like I'm not going to be texting you every day, or like now suddenly we're like brother, you know, like father, daughter, or brother, sister, right. You know what I mean? Like you've got to set what those boundaries that are healthy for you are. Like, so that's, you know, I think you raise a great point. You got to set those boundaries. And when you're setting boundaries and verbalizing, things go smoother. But the hard part is, you know, naturally, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to, like, you know, it's harder with family because you care. I don't want to hurt feelings. Yeah. I don't want them to make feel bad or feel this because they're family. It's tougher.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. Like there are times you have to say, like I had to say to her, you know, these kinds of texts go to John. No, but let's talk about sometimes you don't say it, but you hold it in yourself. So for example, let's say there's a friend, and we also gotten a bunch of questions about this. And over time, we grow and evolve and change, and our journeys shift and our paths go in different directions. So let's say there's a friend and you start to realize, oh my gosh, this friend is a little bit draining to be around. And maybe a bit of a narcissist, maybe they talk about themselves all the time. And, you know, there is a boundary you can create about how much you choose to spend time with that person. And maybe you don't need to say it out loud, like, hey, I feel drained by you, so I'm only going to see you once every 2 weeks instead of every day or every week. But maybe you just start to create that. What do you think about that? Because I think that can be possible too in friendships. Or do you think that, you know, it should always be addressed verbally?
No, it's very, listen, friendships too. I've had that where I've had long, like friends to say I grew up with, but you've outgrown the friendship but they're still wanting to call and talk all the time and this. And it's hard because you just feel like, wow, this, or maybe sometimes you get to a point in your life where you want people in your life that are just bringing joy and positivity and that, you know, aren't draining you. And I've had to have the tough, you know, I had a friend who I was in his wedding and, you know, and then years later he just got, you know, I tried, you know, for so much to help. And then finally to get the point, it's like, I have to set a boundary because, yeah, you know, this is something that is within you and you have to work out. I can't make you, you know, right. You know, and that's a tough conversation to have with a friend, a loved one, because you're kind of setting them off on their journey to say, hey, I can't always be the crutch of support that makes you feel better about yourself. You're going to have to make yourself feel okay about yourself.
And but was that the conversation you had with him?
I did. I had literally to say to him, I love you to death and I love you and I will always love you and be, you know, but you're at a point where you need to work on yourself. And these conversations, we're going to have the same conversation a week from now, a month from now. Yeah. And we're just in this loop and it's like a complete loop.
Training.
Yeah. And it's just like, and I found like I would hang up the phone. I would be like, oh, you know, and you want to be there for your friends. And like, we're always there, but there is a point to where you have to say, okay, I've done my diligence as a friend or as a loved one. Yeah. And now it's up to them to take what I've given and the energy and the stuff that I've given to them and for them to use it and to be there for themselves.
Yes. So I agree. Those are hard conversations to have with friends. And then sometimes you need that conversation, maybe more like fringe friends. Like I've had like, you know, just, you know, some girls like just hanging out with, going out with, like not like best friends, but I'm like, oh, like that doesn't really feel good to me. So if they start like trying to make more and more plans, like I'll just be like, oh, you know, I'm busy this night and this night. It's not that I cut them off, but it's just less hanging out. So that can happen too. And that's like, you set the boundary in yourself. Like, this person is draining, so I'm only going to see them periodically if it's in a group setting and I really want to see them.
Yeah. So in that boundary, you're kind of setting a almost like an actionary boundary by not engaging. If they're kind of more conscious of realizing, you're hoping that that thing kind of sets the natural thing. And then sometimes what happens is that if they're not getting it, then you have to get to that point of saying, here's the situation. And, because I think the other thing sometimes is sometimes it feels like you're being in those situations. Oh, I feel like I'm being mean, or I'm not, or I'm going to hurt their feelings. But you're actually doing them such a favor because it gives them an opportunity to look within and go, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was this way, or I didn't realize I was making you feel this way. And it gives them time for self-reflection upon their own selves, which is an opportunity for their own growth.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've done that. And I think that a big part about healthy boundaries in general is shedding guilt, because, especially as women, but all people, you too, John, as a man, but there's this feeling of like we have to take care of everybody or be nice to everybody. And so there's this guilt a little bit when you distance yourself. And so the way I've gotten past the guilt is that, again, connecting with the inner truth and saying to myself, I'm going to handle this with love and compassion. I'm going to do it in a loving, careful way. But at the same time, I know that by protecting my energy, I'm able to give more to everybody, to the world, to my children, to, our community. And so not to feel guilty if something isn't really serving me, because when we're depleted and we're run down, we don't have the brightest energy. We don't have the biggest vitality. So realizing there is a way to hold healthy boundaries, to protect our energy, but to also stay loving. And that realization, was big for me, because guilt can keep us from those healthy boundaries. It's probably the biggest thing that keeps us from healthy boundaries, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, guilt, it's like you feel guilty. I struggle with that immensely, because I've always been kind of a people pleaser. Like, I like to please people, make them happy, whatever. And then I feel like if I'm ignoring somebody or I'm not doing what they want, oh, I feel guilty. I wasn't there for them, or I didn't do what they wanted, or this, that, or the other. And guilt, it just racks you. And it kind of, but then, that kind of comes around within yourself. And even though you're doing something for them, you're not feeling great about it. And so then that tends to manifest out in other kind of passive aggressiveness, sometimes like that isn't great either. So it's like, because you're not honoring yourself. You're doing something maybe that you don't really want to do. And when you do these things, even though we think it's good, we're creating this kind of within ourselves, like this, anger within ourselves that manifests in a lot of different ways and not the best ways.
I think you said a really good term, which is honoring yourself. And the essence of healthy boundaries is knowing that as humans and as individuals that are part of a collective, we contribute to the collective, but we also have our personal space. And so we need to honor that and nurture it. Your cornerstones, we eat to nourish our bodies, and we take care of our bodies. We take the right supplements, we sleep and move our bodies. Emotionally, we create, this interplay between us and others. We process our emotions, we journal, we have community. And then spiritual growth, our fourth cornerstone, we find time to really connect just in. So meditation and stillness. And so by nurturing and honoring our energy, we feel our best, we feel good, just like our podcast name, and we are able to contribute to the collective instead of, being depleted by one friend or one person that may be imbalanced in themselves. So seeing it as part of our mission and, really honoring that we are a unique essence, and we each and every single one of us is a unique gift for the world and to bring to the world, I think is so important. And really holding that in our heart space if we feel the need to create a healthy boundary, whether it's verbal or, you know, at an internal action step, like spending less time with someone, or energetically just not taking in so much of a comment or, you know, a fleeting thing that someone says, just to know that it's part of this whole intention that we have to really nourish ourselves to the highest degree, to serve. That to me is really the essence of the healthy, healthy boundary conversation.
No, absolutely. You hit it on the head again. And I think, you know, one thing just kind of popped in my head too with family is, you know, everyone has what feels good to them and what feels good to you. And especially, I think one of the biggest things that always comes up is how much you see family, right? Some people, you know, feels good for them to see them 3 times a week, almost every day. And then other people say, oh, I only need to see them once a month. You know, everyone has difference of what feels good to them. And I think it's important, like in those kind of boundaries relationship, is that to understand what your boundary is, and then also to understand what feels good to the other person. And then when you have, like if I'm a person, it's like, you know what, I can see them twice a year and I feel okay. Now the other person, they're like, oh, I want to see them every. So you realize that if yours is once a year or twice a year, and the other person's is they want to have it twice a week, there's going to be a disconnect there. So you have to realize that and kind of try to work in a way that makes, you know, you feel good about the boundary and them feel as well as okay.
Totally, totally. And it's, you know, it's this, the core of these healthy boundaries and healthy communication. I think, and the key is always feeling good, is staying connected to yourself and active listening and really sitting back and taking in, you know, listen and then connect to your truth. And, you know, it just develops more and more over time. And it is such an important thing, though. I know when I started putting up these healthy boundaries, I just didn't feel my energy being affected as much. It wasn't this roller coaster of, oh, this person said something mean or something I took as mean or I took personally, and it's going to take me a long time to come down for this. It just feels like this, you know, my energy is a lot more steady. And health-wise, again, that just affects your hormones and your health so much. So I think that it's, you know, this is a really important topic and something that we'll talk about more and more. It keeps unfolding and we're all on our journeys. And again, it can feel a little bit like confrontation is difficult, but, you know, we just breathe into it and we start to shift the way that we see it as not necessarily confrontation, but just holding that healthy space. So thank you so much, John, for being with us. As always, you know, we love to call you back in. It's so funny because do you remember when some years ago I had a girls' weekend where some friends flew into LA and you popped in and everybody, like, you know, everybody wanted to ask your advice about all of their relationships. Do you remember that?
It was like a Dr. Phil weekend.
It was totally. So I just appreciate you so much always being here for me and, you know, also the community and just being able to hear your voice. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. It's great. I always love doing and always love to be there and, you know, have a voice in helping people too. So thank you so much.
Amazing. And thank you so much, my beauties, my loves, for tuning in to our show today. Please head over to mysaluna.com for our show notes, where we link to other resources, other podcasts we think you would love. And of course, we have our new Saluna app, which is in the App Store. And there's a portal there to our membership, our Saluna Circle, which is amazing. I'm in there every day. There's just a really beautiful community. We have a Zoom every month. We have a weekly audio. There's a focus every month, meditation every month, which I think is so healing. This month, now that we're in April, is developing your energy and your vitality. So it's really just putting that focus, that beautiful focus, through all the four cornerstones on a monthly theme. So I invite you personally to join us. Check it out. And sending you so much love. We will be back here on Thursday for our next Q&A podcast. Till then, take care. And again, so much love right from my heart.